The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hi, this is Chris Skidmore from the North Carolina Reading Service, formerly known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service, and this is Tech Tips. We've got ourselves a real barn burner this month. First, we're going to be talking with Tammy Koger of the North Carolina Assistive Technology Program about their upcoming AT Expo. Then we're going to be talking about a new Fios update from Verizon. And finally, a study shows that sighted people really do have better developed hearing. That's what's coming up on this month's episode of Tech Tips. Coming up on this episode of Tech Tips, we have a special in-studio guest today. We have Tammy Koger, who is with the North Carolina Assistive Technology Program. Did I get that right?
You did.
Awesome. Way to go, me. Instead of me telling folks about you, I'm going to let you do that.
Oh, okay. Well, as you said, I'm Tammy Koger. I'm with the North Carolina Assistive Technology Program, or as some people may know us as just NCATP. We are a state agency under the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation and the Department of Health and Human Services. Been in the Raleigh area and across the state for about 25 years, providing services to individuals with disabilities of all ages and all function areas in the field and the area of assistive technology. And what assistive technology is basically any piece of equipment that can be purchased, modified, or made that will help somebody do what they would like to do in the environment that they would like to do it in.
And you're not just in Raleigh. You are all over the state. What are some of the locations of the offices?
Yeah, we do cover the whole state. We have offices in Wilmington, Greenville, Sanford, Raleigh, Greensboro, Winston-Salem, Charlotte, Morganton, and Silva. And each one of those offices have several counties, of course, that they serve because we do cover all 100 counties in North Carolina.
Awesome. And you serve not just people with visual impairments, but all kinds of impairments, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we serve individuals from birth through seniors and across all function areas or all disabilities, including vision, hearing, mobility, communication, individuals with access needs or aids to daily living needs, any area that you can think of that you might need assistance in.
So if I need some kind of assistive technology, how do I come to you guys and how do I get it? How does that work?
Wonderful question. We have several programs, and we are federally funded under the Assistive Technology Act, and that funding allows us to provide device demonstrations and short-term device loans. So what that means is anybody in the state of North Carolina could make an appointment at one of our 9 AT centers. They can come in and see what type of devices we have. They can try them out. That's called a demonstration. And then they can also check those devices out up to 2 weeks so they can use it in school or on their job or in their home, wherever they may want to try those. The way to get that service is basically just contact one of our 9 AT centers, and you can find that information on our website. Because we're part of DHHS, we are on the DHHS website. So the best way to find us is just Google North Carolina Assistive Technology Program, and we pop right up, and you can get a listing of one of our 9 centers. We also provide assessments and training, train the trainer, and consultation. So these are services that actually require a little bit more of a process, and how you would access those services is go on our website and complete the referral forms or contact our intake coordinator. She can be contacted at 919-855-3563. And you can contact her directly or go on our website and complete the forms to have one of those services if you would like to have an assessment. You can always call us, and we can give you more information about that as well.
That's just incredible. We are talking with Tammy Koger of the North Carolina Assistive Technology Program, and now we're going to get down to kind of the meat of why I invited you today. You guys have a big event coming up called the NCATP Vendors Expo, and it's going to be here in Raleigh, and if you would, just tell us a little bit about it.
Thank you. Yes, this event is going to be held on September the 26th. It's actually our second year holding the event in this format and at this location, which is the McKimmon Center off from Gorman Avenue, part of NC State campus. This is a one-day vendor fair. It's the Assistive Technology Expo. And the times are 9 to 3. It's free. It's open to the public. And I'm very happy to say that as of today, we are completely full with vendors. We'll have about 35 vendors in there, and all slots are taken. So it's a wonderful event. Last year, we hosted the event at the McKimmon Center. We had about 33 vendors, I believe, over 300 attendees. So it's a wonderful opportunity to come and meet vendors across all those various function areas and various disabilities to see what might be new on the market.
Yeah, because this is not just for visually impaired people, but if you have any kind of a need for equipment, this is, you know, kind of your one-stop shop in North Carolina.
It really is, yeah. One of the things that we're doing, we tried this last year, and it was a big success, so we're going to do it again this year, is throughout the day, we're also having, about every 30 minutes, we'll be hosting sessions that many of our vendors and sponsors have signed up for. So, I believe those are going to be starting about 10 o'clock with their AT Assistive Technology Awards, Stephen E. Salee Awards, and then we will be going right into every 30 minutes having one of our vendors or one of our sponsors do a presentation throughout the day, and they go until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
And that's so important because there's only so much you can learn from a website or through literature. Eventually, you want to get your hands on a piece of technology and play with it to see if it's going to be right for you.
Absolutely, and it's a good time to see some new products. Many of our vendors will be bringing new items that will be coming out or that have just recently come out on the market. We also have several sponsors who will be there and be represented as well, and I'll be remiss if I didn't mention our sponsors, but we couldn't do the event without them. So Division of Services for the Blind was a sponsor last year and again this year, as well as the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation Services, Division of Services for Deaf and Hard of Hearing, and then the North Carolina State Independent Living Council, and then as well as Easter Seals UCP. So all of these wonderful organizations will also be represented there, and so it's a wonderful opportunity to find not only about equipment, assistive technology, and durable medical equipment, but maybe some of the local and statewide services that might be a benefit to individuals.
You are exactly right. We are talking with Tammy Koger today with the North Carolina Assistive Technology Program, and specifically about the Vendors Expo that's coming up in September. And you've touched on some of the things that folks can do as far as product demonstrations and kind of getting some hands-on experience with some of the tech. What are some of the other things that are going to be going on during the expo?
We're going to have the Stephen E. Salee AT Awards, and we are actually still accepting applications for individuals who would like to submit someone as a candidate for those awards. We'll be giving two awards out, and this is for individuals who use assistive technology, support assistive technology. It can be a user, it can be a professional, anyone that has really made this field what it is and understands the field. So we are continuing to take applications, I think, through September 1st. Is when people can make those applications or nominate someone for those awards. So that will be going on. Again, the vendor sessions will be going on. We will have free refreshments throughout the day. That's always good.
Yeah, as I've learned, expos run on their stomachs.
Yeah, that's always good to have free refreshments. And then, of course, just that hands-on opportunity to meet with many of the vendors. And again, we have about 35 vendors signed up.
Could you list some of them for us?
Yeah, absolutely. Quintex Low Vision will be there. They will also be doing a presentation for us on what's new in low vision technology. The Self-Help Credit Union will be there, and they are also doing a presentation about financing assistive technology and durable medical equipment. We have services for the deaf and hard of hearing, of course, are going to be presenting on hearing loss technology. Ability to access, we'll be discussing low vision and blindness AT. It's not like it used to be. As we all know, technology continues to change and develop. We've got Bellman North America, which is a home and learning solutions and devices. Freedom Mobility Center will be there. Best Bath, Mobility Works, Stiles Medical, NCCAP, the Client Assistance Program, will be there. CapTel, and I can keep going. How many you want?
You've definitely got a lot of them. And the nice thing that, you know, while you were listing them, it hit me that, you know, in my particular situation, I'm visually impaired, and usually that is where I tend to gravitate. But as I'm getting older, I am learning that, hey, you know, vision isn't probably the only thing I'm going to need to start looking at in the near future. So it's great that you've got assistive technology to help with various kinds of mobility issues, but there's also other types of services that you may not even know you need right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, the good thing about getting older is we are all getting older. That's a good thing, but we do start experiencing some of these physical and medical conditions, as well as, you know, we also have caregivers, and sometimes I think we forget about the caregivers when it comes to the field of assistive technology or DME, or durable medical equipment. But, you know, our caregivers have, there's a lot of physical requirements for them when they may be taking care of somebody or assisting. So assistive technology is also out there to not only assist the individual, but to possibly assist some of our caregivers as well in these situations.
Yeah, and as my wife will attest to, after dealing with me for 20 some odd years, you know, caregivers do need a lot of help. Because sometimes in some families, you know, there's only one person who is helping the person with either the disability or the mobility issue. So that is, you know, that's a great thing, and that there are vendors at the expo who can help them as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You've already touched a little bit on some of the new things going on this year at the expo. Do you have anything else going on that's new this year?
Actually, this year, our vendor show is going to be very similar to the way it was last year, but we will be having, of course, several new vendors there. I've mentioned a couple of them. But for the most part, if you came to last year's vendor show, you're going to see a very similar setup for this year. However, the AT Expo we've had the AT Expo in some format for about 20-some years. Used to be the AT Expo at the Hilton. If anybody remembers that, we hosted it at the Hilton for about 15 years, and then we joined with the North Carolina Rehabilitation Association and hosted the annual Great Global Rehabilitation Enhanced with Assistive Technology Conference for about 7 years, and then last year, of course, we came back to the AT Expo format some, but as it's now just a one-day event, where in the past it was a couple of days. And all that is up on from requests, not only from our vendors, but from individuals who's attended the Expo in the past and the Great Conference as well. They really just wanted something. The feedback we got is that people wanted something that would be like a one-day event, just to go in and really interact with the vendors across the state or across the nation and the state and across all these disciplines. So that's what our focus is. We have hosted the AT Awards every year. Last year, we actually did the AT Awards during the lunch session. This year, we're going to be moving those to the 10 o'clock session. So we've flipped some of those things around this year. It is at the McKimmon Center. Last year it was at the McKimmon Center. Our time is a little different this year. We did open the doors last year at 9 and we went to 5. This year the time is 9 to 3. We shortened it some this year because of our attendance from last year, as well as a request from many of our vendors, is to shorten the time frame. So it is going to run from 9 to 3 this year.
Now, you said it's free for folks to attend, would you like for people to register, or do they need to register before they come, so you can kind of get an idea how many people is going to show up?
Thank you so much. We would love for people to register. It is free. It's open to the public. But we are asking for people to register on Eventbrite. If you go on Eventbrite and put 2019 Assistive Technology Expo, or if you just put Expo Raleigh, September the 26th is going to pop up. And the only thing you have to do is click yes, you want to attend, and it will start tracking you as one of our attendees. I will have to say, I just checked this morning, and we are up to about 250 individuals who have already registered to attend. So we're very happy with that. But again, it's open to the public and we can take many, many more. So please sign up and come on in.
You did already kind of touch on this a little bit earlier, but for someone who may have come in the middle of this interview, what's the best way for them to get a hold of both the NCATP and to learn more about the expo?
The best way is just Google North Carolina Assistive Technology Program, and with the very first thing that pops up, it will take you directly to our website. You can also contact one of our 9 AT centers if you would like to do that. The Raleigh number is 919-859-8360, and they can provide more information. But then also, if you want more information specifically about the AT Expo, you can Google North Carolina AT Expo, and it will also be the first thing that pops up. And you can click on that, and it's directed to our website, but there's a special page just for the website. We keep it up to date with our vendors. They are all listed on there. The schedule for the day is already listed on there, and then any, and our sponsors as well. And then any updates that may occur between now and September the 26th will be posted on there as well.
So in doing research for the AT Expo, I noticed that you have other events coming up. Would you like to talk a little bit about them?
Sure. But we regularly host events across the state. Many of our AT centers will host individual events. We are right now working with North Carolina Augmentative Communication Association and hosting 3 events across the state. And I apologize, I do not know those dates, but they are on our webpage. We're hosting one in Greenville, Raleigh, and in Greensboro.
Now, what is the North Carolina Augmentative
Communication Association?
What is that?
Thanks for asking.
Uh-huh.
That is actually the association primarily made up of speech-language pathologists who are interested in working in the field of communication devices. So these would be your speech devices. Stephen Hawkins is probably one of the most famous people who used one. So it's those types of devices, or
okay.
It could be low tech to high tech, but he's probably the most famous person when you think of communication boards. And so these presentations are geared around individuals who are speech language pathologists or family members working with someone who may have a communication board. So we have those coming up. We host, a lot of times we're hosting events in our centers, like our Greensboro Center just is doing a presentation with incoming physicians that will residents, that's what I'm trying to think of, excuse me, residents.
No worries, I do it all the time.
So she will be working with them some. If you are interested, actually, in an event, or if you are an individual that works in the field, or you're interested in knowing more about a specific topic, we'd love to talk to you and see if there's a way we might be able to work together to host something specific to what your interest is in the area of assistive technology.
Okay, awesome. And on that note, let's go over the phone numbers one more time for the Raleigh office. And if you happen to have any for offices in the eastern part of the state, can give us those numbers as well.
Okay, the Raleigh AT Center number is 919-859-8360. You can actually also call the Raleigh administrative offices at 919-855-3564. I do not know, I apologize, I do not know the number right off the top of my head for our eastern offices. We have one in Greenville and one in Wilmington, and I apologize, I do not know those numbers right off the top of my head.
That's okay. I can barely remember my own phone number off the top of my head. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, the main thing, of course, is we have the AT Expo, September 26th. There's also an event coming up for individuals with disabilities and employers primarily that's going to be hosted at Biogen at RTP, and it's coming up in, I think it's October the 27th, I believe. Okay. You can find out more information also on Eventbrite. It's called Disability Awareness Day, and they're asking people to register on Eventbrite as well. And it's an event, again, at RTP, hosted by Biogen, really focusing on the employment of individuals with disabilities, specifically probably around the pharmaceutical industry quite a bit. North Carolina is now an employment first state. Our governor has made us an employment first state, which is fantastic. And so it's really great to see several of our employers hosting these events for individuals. So I'd like to remind you of that as well. But don't forget, sign up for the AT Expo, September the 26th, 9 to 3, McKimmon Center.
I'm going to go do that right now. We have been talking with Tammy Koger of the North Carolina Assistive Technology Program. Tammy, thank you for coming out.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a blast. And you are listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service.
Here's an article about some recent updates made to Verizon Fios TV. Verizon Fios offers improved TV accessibility for people with visual impairments. It's written by Janet Ingber, and it comes to us courtesy of Access World magazine. In late 2018, Verizon Fios launched Fios TV One, which provides accessibility improvements for people who are blind or visually impaired. There is a new cable box plus a new remote control with voice command and the ability to find the remote by sound if misplaced. The remote is voice activated and provides an easy way to access video description and text-to-speech. The new remote control is smaller than Verizon's previous remotes and has fewer buttons, but the buttons are cleverly designed. Many buttons have logical tactile features. The top right button turns on the TV and cable box simultaneously. The slightly lower in height top left button is used to choose input, such as TV or HDMI 1. Below these buttons is a straight horizontal row of three buttons: rewind, play, pause, and fast forward. The play, pause button is slightly depressed in the middle. The next buttons down are a curved row forming the top of a circle of three: guide, menu, and exit. The menu button is slightly above the other two buttons. Lower on the remote is a large ring button, approximately 1 inch in diameter, with ribs at the top, bottom, left, and right. The ring is used to go up, down, backward, or forward. In the center of the ring button is a raised round button that is labeled OK. Below the ring are three buttons, the bottom section of the circle. The middle one is the voice control button, which is raised and larger than the other two. On the left is arrow left, and on the right is last. The last button brings you back to the previous channel. Below these three buttons are a volume rocker button on the left, a round mute button in the middle, and a channel rocker button on the right. Near the bottom of the remote are four rows of three buttons. These are the number buttons, plus, info, and a button labeled REC for record. The first row is 123, the second row is 456, and the third row is 789, and the bottom row on the button remote is info, 0, and then the record button. The 5 button is indented, and the 0 button is between the info and rec buttons. To execute voice commands, hold down the voice control button and speak your command, then release the button. I searched online without success for information about commands that are used for someone who is blind. There was information about using the feature, but it did not include the command for activating descriptive video or turning on text-to-speech. I quickly figured out how to execute these commands by telling the voice control to turn these features on or off, but they should have been in Verizon's basic documentation. I called Verizon tech support, and the first person couldn't help me. The second person read me what was online, and I explained that I had seen that. She was astonished and found better documentation that included commands to activate descriptive video and text-to-speech, which she emailed to me. She added that she was going to suggest Verizon make this information more easily accessible. For more information about Fios TV One, you can visit the Verizon website. The website address for their Verizon Fios is Fios, which is spelled FIOS.verizon.com. really a technology article, but I thought it was interesting nonetheless, so I thought I'd share it. The article is entitled, New Brain Study Finally Explains Why Blind People's Hearing Works So Precisely. It's written by Peter Cockrell. Not everybody hears the same. Numerous studies have shown people who become blind early in life can experience enhanced auditory powers compared to sighted people, but a new experiment appears to have revealed the neural basis of this phenomenon for the first time. The common assumption that people without sight have superior hearing isn't just an assumption. It's borne out by a body of research demonstrating just that. In addition to other advantages, the condition appears to confer. But while scientists have known for a long time that people with early onset blindness have more enhanced or accurate hearing, the brain mechanisms that enable this remain far from understood. There's this idea that blind people are good at auditory tasks because they have to make their way in the world without visual information, says neuroscientist Ione Fine from the University of Washington. We wanted to explore how this happens in the brain. To that end, Fine and her team used functional magnetic resonance, or fMRI, imaging to examine activity in the auditory cortex, the part of the brain that processes auditory information in both blind people and a control group of sighted people. In their cohort, four of the blind participants had early onset blindness, and five had the condition anopophthalmia, in which the eyes fail to develop. In the experiment, these participants were played a number of pure tones resonating at different frequencies while an fMRI device recorded their brain activity. A control group went through the same procedure. When the researchers analyzed the results, they found that the blind people in the experiment tended to process the tones in a narrower, more accurate bandwidth than sighted individuals, suggesting their sense of frequency tuning in the auditory cortex was better defined than the non-blind group. Our study shows that the brains of blind individuals are better able to represent frequencies, one of the team, psychology graduate student Kelly Chang, explains. For a sighted person, having an accurate representation of sound isn't as important because they have sight to help recognize objects, while a blind individual only has auditory information. This gives us an idea of what changes in the brain and explains why blind people are better at picking out and identifying sounds in the environment. It's worth noting we're only dealing with a small group of participants here, which we always need to bear in mind when considering the findings of studies. But the team nonetheless suggests their results amount to the first evidence for systemic changes in neural tuning within the human auditory cortex as a result of blindness. How the auditory cortex develops this form of neuroplasticity remains unknown, but in their paper, the team speculates it could be a developmental adaptation to early blindness, the ongoing effects of visual deprivation, and or differential auditory demands that result from being blind. Future studies could help us get closer to understanding the basis of the brain's auditory adaptations observed here in greater detail. But for now, at least, researchers have a new target to examine, even if there's still a lot left for us to learn. In blind individuals, more information needs to be extracted from sound, and this region seems to develop enhanced capacities as a result, Fine says. This provides an elegant example of how the development of abilities within infant brains is influenced by the environment they grow up in. The findings are reported in the Journal of Neuroscience. We've run out of time for today's episode of Tech Tips. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Chris Skidmore, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Tech Tips is readily available as a podcast following this broadcast by visiting our website at www.ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, you can give us a call. Our number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And as always, thank you for listening to Tech Tips.